Okay, all set. Here we go. Let's see, which edition is this today?
Here we go.
It's a brand new day.
Yep.
It's a brand new day.
New?
Yeah.
It's brand new.
It's not new.
It's not new.
It's not new.
No.
What is it then?
What is it then?
What is it?
What is it then?
It's Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday it is.
Whatever, same difference.
Irregardless.
That's not a word.
Oh my God, will you relax?
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
You bet. Here we go, getting underway with hour number one, the Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. In the air chair, your genial host, Rabid Shock Jock. I am the president of Insensitivity University, where our speciality is non-politically correct studies. Great to have you along today. And as always, even though it's cloudy and gray, we'll try and brighten things up as we proceed along. Yeah, we got the entire outfit here, Bob and the Bobettes. Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, frantically pushing the button, screening your calls, which go to Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063. Little Annie, of course, back there in the news center, keeping us informed on all the breaking news developments.
Sounds like a fun crew.
We got it. And if you prefer to text me during the show today, just use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. You know, these so-called comedians, you know, people on late night TV, Johnny Carson and all the other late night talk show hosts, they used to really be funny. But, and you know, they would do a political jab here or there, but it was good-natured. It wasn't mean-spirited like we see nowadays with the late-night talk show hosts. And it's one, you know, Trump is evil, Trump is bad, Trump is the devil after another. But they reveal their ignorance with some of the stuff they say. Last night, Stephen Colbert... I know, he likes to use the affectation Stephen Colbert, even though the other members of his family pronounce their last name Colbert, was using the funeral and the lying in repose at the nation's capital of George H.W. Bush as another vehicle to attack who else? Donald Trump. Listen to what this moron, Stephen Colbert, said last night.
President Trump met with the Bush family at Blair House. Here he is arriving by presidential motorcade. Here's the thing. Blair House is literally across the street from the White House, and Trump used the motorcade to travel 250 yards. That's yeah. Like mailing a letter to your wife because she's upstairs and you can't find the remote.
No, not exactly, Stephen. In fact, it is nothing like that, you maroon, you nincompoop. Stephen, in the first place, he makes it sound as if it was Trump's decision to use a motorcade to go from the White House down the street to Blair House. That's not the president's decision. That is the decision of the president's Secret Service detail. Did it ever occur to you, Colbert, while you're rushing to find things to criticize President Trump for, that the Secret Service is never going to allow their principal to walk 250 yards out in the open, especially at a huge event like this, which is bound to attract people who might be prone to launch an attack on the president or any of the other dignitaries at the funeral. But, you know, he just sees it as another excuse to go after Donald Trump.
You idiot!
He is an idiot. And he doesn't even know how stupid he is. In on the text line, Bob, what's the Pelham Road shutdown all about? Unaware of what that may be, but we'll check into it, see if we can find out. Bobby, hello. Where can we find a list of your sponsors online to support? Unfortunately, we no longer do that. The reason being that when we listed our sponsors on our website, our competitors would then go and try and sell advertising on their radio station to the same people that were already advertising here. And we weren't about to give him a leg up. Besides the fact that it didn't really do him any good because the advertisers that we have in 99.9% of the cases are very happy with the results that they get from advertising here on WORD. See, there you go. I knew you guys knew. Bobby, water main break on Pelham Road. There you go. That explains that one. No wonder. Freezing temperatures. Yeah. Due to a water main break early this morning, right in the middle of Pelham Road. Never fails. If there's going to be one, you know it's going to happen around rush hour, and it's going to be in one of the busiest intersections that we have. If you've been listening to Rush, he has been doing a great job of explaining how the media's attempt to paint a diametrically opposed picture of the political environment when George H.W. Bush was president to today when Donald Trump is in the White House, trying to paint it as being a kinder, gentler time when politics was much more polite. And we don't see the anger that we see in politics today, which is horse hockey. Anybody that remembers that campaign remembers the Willie Horton ad in the race between Bush and Dukakis. And Willie Horton, Dukakis had been the governor of Massachusetts, and he was a twit. He was a moron. And he had a work release program for convicted felons. And there was a black criminal named Willie Horton, and he'd been let out on one of these weekend furloughs. And while he was out, he raped a woman. And so it wasn't the Bush campaign that used that. It was somebody, some outside consultant that came up with it. Limbaugh mentioned him by name the other day. But to try and paint the political environment in 92 as being a softer kind of... we were more gentlemanly back then. We didn't resort to all these gutter tactics that the Republicans used. Yeah, we also didn't have ballot harvesting like the Democrats used in California in the recent midterms. But it reminded me of something else, and it sparked the thought in my mind, this is not anything new from the Democrats or from the left. It's merely another page from the same hymnal. And what it reminded me of is the media now trying to repaint the history of that era to give us a different idea of what it was like in retrospect. And a false impression at that is similar to exactly what the eco-freaks, the climate change nuts, have done with the temperature data in trying to sell the idea of climate change. Because one of the guys that used to work at NOAA, who was a high-ranking executive there, blew the whistle on NOAA doing data tampering, trying to say that the historical records should reflect more climate change than they actually do. And so when the records fail to agree with their anthropogenic, that is, man-made global warming mantra, they merely decided to go back and change the older temperature records to make it appear that the heating of the Earth and our atmosphere has been greater than it actually was. And they got caught at it because one of the guys, one of the scientists at NOAA, said, this ain't right. You know, people need to know what you're doing. And I'll explain in a little more detail when we come right back and we get going. In on the text line, Bob, two words for Stephen Colbert. You suck. Message received and understood. Copy that. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back.
Work, 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 work.
And it's not really work when you love doing it, as we do. here every afternoon for 4 hours, slaving away over a hot microphone and computer terminal. Bob, I think Stephen Colbert must be related to Ozzy Osbourne. You know what Ozzy says?
When you're stupid, you do stupid things.
Exactly right. Thank you, Oz. Go, Bobby Mac. Love your defending our excellent POTUS. Lord knows he gets enough grief. And one more thing about the media using the Bush funeral as an opportunity, as a platform, as a diving board from which to launch themselves into attacks on Trump's. How about this from ABC News during the funeral? All right.
And perhaps a recognition in terms of his involvement in the proceedings by President Trump that he someday will be getting a similar treatment when he passes as a former president of the United States.
Probably a different tone in that funeral.
Perhaps.
He's going to choreograph it, so there may be more trumpets
Maybe he was taking cues. Yes, he would do it bigger, one would imagine.
It'd be the best presidential funeral ever. No one will ever have seen anything like that funeral.
God, can you believe that? You know, when Slick Willie passes away, is ABC News going to talk about all his bimbo eruptions? When Hillary finally kicks off this mortal coil and heads to wherever she's going, are they going to talk about the Clinton Foundation scarfing up every dollar they could find, selling influence to any nation on the planet that was willing to pay up for it? No. But they're more than willing to do that as far as Trump is concerned. All right, so here is the point I'm making about the media today trying to say that, well, it was a kinder, gentler time during the presidency of George H.W. Bush. He was a good Republican, you know, because he essentially let Democrats do anything they wanted to do. He was a moderate Democrat. He wasn't like that arch-conservative Ronald Reagan who almost brought us to the brink of nuclear war with the Russians and who, by the way, in the process, brought about the collapse of the Soviet Union. Compare, you know, the kinder, gentler time of George H.W. Bush to the angry politics we have today of Donald Trump, right? And I made the point, in the same way they're trying to change history to rewrite what the early 90s were really like politically, they've also done the same thing with climate change. Richard Finneman has a website called the Deplorable Climate Science Blog, the motto of which is, science is the belief in the ignorance of the experts. I love that. And he wrote a piece. This was written March of this year. NOAA data tampering approaching 2.5 degrees. NOAA's U.S. temperature record shows that the U.S. was warmest in the 1930s and has generally cooled as CO2 has increased, which, of course, wrecks the greenhouse gas theory. Well, they can't have that, so what do? They adjust, in quotes, adjust the data to make it look like the U.S. is warming. The NOAA data tampering produces a spectacular hockey stick of scientific fraud, which becomes the basis of vast amounts of downstream junk climate science. Pardon me. Pre-2000 temperatures are progressively cooled. In other words, the older temperatures are cooled, and post-2000 temperatures are warmed. This year has been a spectacular episode of data tampering by NOAA as they introduced nearly 2.5 degrees of fake warming since 1895. What's worse, most of these adjustments are due to simply making up data. Well, wait a minute, Bob. This is NOAA. This is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They keep all these temperature records, right? How can they be making them up? Well, here's how. Every month, a certain percentage of the 1,218 United States Historical Climatology Network stations fail to report their data. and the temperature gets estimated by NOAA using a computer model. Missing data is marked in their database with an E. Not for error, that means estimated. In 1970, about 10% of the data was missing, so they had to estimate it. But that number has increased to almost 50%, meaning that almost half of the current adjusted data is fake, made up, guessed at. The fabricated temperatures have warmed 4 degrees since 1970, relative to the adjusted temperature, which was based on actual station data. This shows that the warming trend in the U.S., claimed by NOAA, is based on computer models, not actual thermometer data or even adjusted thermometer data. Now, here is the real smoking gun of fraud by NOAA. The adjustments being made almost perfectly match atmospheric CO2 levels. Well, isn't that a happy coincidence? Showing that the data is being altered precisely to match global warming theory. In conclusion, science, and I use that word loosely here, science doesn't get any worse than how NOAA handles U.S. temperature data. NASA uses the NOAA data as the basis for their temperature graphs, which have also been massively altered to turn global cooling into global warming. At 3:28 here on the Bobby Mack Show, John is along this afternoon. He's in Spartanburg. He wants to talk about this business with global warming. Hi, John, and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Just a few things that will show you how, or help you wrap your head around how ignorant or politically motivated this stuff is. It's really all about getting a socialist global tax,
yes.
Another tax.
Right.
It's what it's really about.
Yeah, another way to transfer wealth. Right.
Yeah. Well, what is the scientific facts of this? The only thing that's going to affect global temperature is the sun.
Correct.
The sun, and I think like every 10 minutes, puts out more energy on the Earth than man has since we invented the internal combustion engine.
And I don't know that I would say the sun is the only, but it is certainly the biggest source of our heat.
I haven't mentioned all of them yet.
Yep.
And the other thing is the output of the sun is not consistent.
Correct.
The sun inside is not uniformly dense. It's shaped like an egg, and it rotates on a rhythmic basis, I think it's every 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, here's the biggest fact. If you go outside on an interstate highway and you look where you can see a spot exactly 1 mile away, and then imagine that mile diagonal, at a right angle, and get some idea in your head about how big a square mile is.
Right.
And then imagine a mile straight up. That's a cubic mile. Okay, and Google this. I think there's 328 billion cubic miles of water on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how much heat it takes just to boil a gallon of water.
Right.
Okay, the Earth is a humongous, beyond imagination heat sink. It holds heat, it absorbs heat, and it releases heat. And there's nothing that mankind will ever be able to do to affect what the sun and the ocean's interaction are.
And yet the left wants us, the climate change eco-freaks want to convince us that man is well on its way to destroying the planet. There was somebody, a CNN commentator. I have to go back and find it. Some young woman on CNN who's like in late 20s or around 30 and said, my life is over. I may as well kill myself because we're destroying the planet and I'm never going to be able to live throughout my entire life. And I thought, How can they let somebody like this on television? Just idiocy.
So, one more thing, Ralph. This holds with a lot of other things. An old man told me, and it's true, when there's a situation going on and it just doesn't make sense and you can't rationalize it,
yeah. It's
usually because you're not being told all the facts. And that's the same thing with that. And what this is really about is a global global socialist pact. That's exactly what it's about.
Yeah, redistribution of wealth. Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. Ralph is gone, by the way. But I know what you meant. 3:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on the penultimate work day of the week edition, Thursday, here on the Bobby Mac Show. I hear the drum beat in the background, cueing me with a bumper music that, welcome back to the program. 23 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Great to have you along today. Right back to the phones we go. Richard is next up, and he is in Greenville. Hi, Richard, and welcome to the Thursday edition.
Hello, Bobby. Good to speak with you. I caught your last conversation just before the break there.
Right.
Talking about global warming, and it is one of my pet peeves. I consider myself a scientist. I'm an engineer, but really kind of a scientist. There's only one reason why there's oxygen on our planet, because of plants. The planets don't form with oxygen. None of the other planets have it, and any of the others that they found out in outer space don't have it. If they did find it, they would know right away that there's life on someplace other planet.
You would think.
But there isn't it. Yes. Now, here's proof that a lot of this is baloney. I hope anybody watching near a computer can just Google this, because the first thing will come up. Google NASA, CO2, and greening. There's a 2016 NASA study, it's still on their website, that shows that the planet has greened, I think they said by, well, different areas green differently, but on average, like 20 to 25%. 20 to 25% more greening is more plants and more oxygen.
Yes.
And just a few percent would be a huge amount, but 25% should be headline news.
Yeah,
for
that's
the last
gigantic.
2 years.
Right. Yeah, that's a gigantic percentage increase. Yeah.
And it's right. If any of your associates there can check it, just NASA, CO2, and greening. And it was the first result that came up on my Google search.
Well, but probably.
You find it on the NASA website.
Yeah.
NASA website.
Well, you could, Richard, up until your phone call. And now it has probably been purged from the website as quickly as humanly possible.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Maybe you have noticed it, too. We have a backyard that's all trees and greenery.
Sure.
And it seems like it has gotten much greener in the last few years, that little bit of CO2 that's extra in the atmosphere. And CO2 is 1/3 of 1%. Oxygen is 21%.
Yeah. CO2 is actually, as I'm sure you know, Richard, a trace gas of a trace gas. As a percentage of the atmosphere, if my memory serves, it's 0.000387. Or to put it another way, it's tiny.
It is extremely tiny, and I'd like to impress that the plants are starving. Well, they're choking to death. If we had that much oxygen in the atmosphere, we'd be gone.
Yeah, yeah, true enough. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate the call. It's amazing how much phony science they come up with, to the point where NOAA actually goes back and makes up temperature numbers to confirm their scientific hypothesis, their theory, which is all it is. 3:41, 19 before 4. Time has come for us to check the calendar pages today. Time. Chambers Brothers in the background. As we go back in.
Time.
Exactly. All right, here we go. Back in the day on December 6th, 1,673 years ago today, 345 A.D., the real St. Nick, St. Nicholas, passed away, went to his reward. He secretly gave gifts to poor brides-to-be. Was on this date in 1492, Christopher Columbus landed in Santo Domingo. He was looking for gold. 1812, the remnants of Napoleon's army staggered off to Latvia or Lithuania or somewhere after their failed invasion of Russia. It was on this date in 1865 the 13th Amendment was ratified. That's the amendment that abolished slavery. 1877, Thomas Alva Edison makes the first sound recording when he recited "Mary Had a Little Lamb" into his phonograph machine. 1884, the Washington Monument was completed. You know why construction of the monument was delayed, Moneypenny? Because of the, as Grandma Hughes used to call it, the late unpleasantness. The war between the states, the war of northern aggression, the Civil War, because it started out with Stone from Georgia. And, of course, at the onset of the Civil War, that was no longer available. Was finished up, I think, with granite from New Hampshire. In any, and that's why when you look at the monument, about one quarter of the way up, you see the color of the stone changes. 1884, when the monument to George Washington was completed. But 1917, the Bolsheviks imprisoned Tsar Nicholas and his family. The commies would later kill Nicholas II and his entire family. 1941, FDR, President Roosevelt, appealed for peace to Emperor Hirohito of Japan. Pearl Harbor, of course, was bombed the next day. 1960, Gene Autry became the owner of Major League Baseball's Los Angeles Angels. 49 years ago today, in 1969, Steam had their only hit, but it went to the top of the charts, and you still hear it sung at sporting events. Na na, hey hey, kiss him goodbye. 49 years ago today, 1969, 300 at Altamont Speedway, Livermore, California. A riot ensued, and tragically, four people died. He was stabbed by one of the Hell's Angels who had been hired by the concert promoters to provide security. Nice job. 30 years ago today, 1988, the great Big O, Roy Orbison, died of a heart attack. He was only 52 years old. All right, let's get to the birthdays for today. Not that big a list. Johnny Football Manziel is 26, Heisman-winning Texas A&M quarterback who bombed out with the Cleveland Browns. Debbie Rowe is 60. She is the biological mom of Michael Jackson's kids, Paris Jackson and Prince Michael Jackson Jr. Peter Buck is 62, REM guitarist. Stephen Wright, comedian, is 63. He's the guy who's kind of droll, has a clown hair. Actor Tom Hulce is 65. He was amazing as Mozart in Amadeus, and he was Quasimodo in Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame. Jo Beth Williams, actress, is 70. She was in Poltergeist. She was the mom and was also in The Big Chill. Actress Agnes Moorehead, Samantha's mom in Dora on Bewitched, born on this date in 1900, passed away in 1974. There you go. 19 days until Christmas, 25 days until New Year's Eve. Happy birthday to all. 3:46, 14 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Right back. Welcome back. 3:51 now. It's 9 before 4 o'clock. This is certainly sad news because to hear that Langley is losing assets means that we have lost a number of valued patriots who are trying to keep us safe. I doubt seriously that this kind of situation would still be going on if Tony Mendez was running science and technology, but that's beside the point. At the CIA, reads the headline, a fix to communication system that left trail of dead agents remains elusive. There are a number of expressions for when spies believe they're being spied on. Expressions like, there's a stranger in our house. Strangers are reading our mail, that sort of thing. more than 5 years after a major failure was identified in a system used to communicate with CIA agents. This is from Yahoo News. And, in general, the news media gets this wrong every time. This FBI has agents, special agents. CIA has case officers. CIA agents on the ground around the world. The agency is yet to fully fix the problem, according to sources directly familiar with the matter. Between 2009 and 2013, the CIA's online method of communicating with its human sources on the ground all over the world was tragically compromised, leading to the exfiltration, that is pulling them out, imprisonment, or death of dozens of people spying for the agency. The failure started when Iranian officials used a double agent to trace back a series of websites CIA was using to communicate with its sources. Iran then located, detained, and in some instances executed CIA sources it identified using the system. The problem then spread to China, where roughly 30 CIA sources were eventually executed. Once Iran and China were able to locate users of these covert CIA platforms in their countries, sources told Yahoo News they were very likely able to discover a large number of CIA sources using similar systems worldwide. But the fallout from that disaster, including internal battles at the CIA and struggles to replace and fix a complex web of interlocking technical systems, continues to rage on to this day, according to five former intelligence community sources familiar with the matter. CIA declined to comment for this piece. Because of the scope of the problem, fixing it was also a staggering task. The issues with internet-based covert communication systems cannot be fully solved piecemeal and will require an immense allocation of resources. A patch won't solve the problem, said one of the former officials. We're not talking about billions of dollars. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars to fix these systems. A second former official was more charitable, arguing that while the problem is not entirely solved, there's been major improvement in the communication system. Well, that's reassuring. But the source added, it doesn't serve everyone equally. As a result, many who are directly responsible for working with sources on the ground within the CIA's Directorate of Operations are furious, said a former official who was more critical about the agency's progress. Even under the best of circumstances, said one former senior official, internet-based communication systems create counterintelligence challenges. CIA agents, there's that word again, using the system were supposed to conduct electronic surveillance detection routes, that is, to bounce around on various sites on the internet before accessing the system in order to cover their tracks. In other words, making it more difficult to track them down, to follow them on the web, look for the breadcrumbs, as it were, but often failed to do so, creating potentially suspicious patterns of internet usage. Entire careers in the CIA's Office of Technical Service, the part of DS&T directly responsible for developing covert communication systems, were built on those internet-based systems, said a former senior official. Raising concerns about them was like calling someone's baby ugly, said this person. The complaints about the problems in the system were not heeded for years. The reliance on major defense contractors within the Pentagon and the intel community is a controversial one. So apparently a bunch of this stuff has been farmed out to contractors, and they have these classified contracts. But as a result, of course, it's all classified, so it all was under the radar. Said one of the sources, they keep paying S-word defense contractors to work on covert communications and other projects. The problem is also potentially larger than just CIA, said one former senior intelligence official. In the past, the Defense Clandestine Service, the DIA's covert human intelligence gathering arm, has employed CIA-developed internet-based covert communications platforms, as has the United Kingdom's Secret Intelligence Service. And we know that those have now been compromised. Well, swell. Great work, guys. Take a quick break here as hour number one rolls to a close. Second hour of the Thursday edition is right around the corner.